NIV, I will be reading from the NIV version this morning, and if you do not have one, please get it, and it will make it easier for you to follow. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Now turn, please, to Acts 18. Acts 18. Beginning in verse 1, after this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome, Paul went to see them. And because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Now verse 18. Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Cenchrea because of a vow he had taken. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. Verse 24, meanwhile a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to come to their home and explain to him the way of God more adequately. Now look, please, in Romans 16, 16th chapter of Romans, verse 3. Paul's writing, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. We're thinking about Aquila and Priscilla this morning. Maybe you want to call them Priscilla and Aquila before it's over. But that's the couple, anyhow, that we're thinking about. Let me see a show of hands. How many of you have moved in the last 7 years? Moved your home? That's interesting. That's very interesting. We live in a mobile society. We're portable. One of the major industries in the United States today is the mobile home industry. Tremendous proportion of all the homes in the United States are mobile homes. And the rate is increasing at a terrific rate. Realtors tell me that even in conventional housing, the average family will move once every 5 years in their earlier years. And really, it's probably about that average throughout a lifetime. Business demands it. You know what IBM stands for, don't you? I've been moved? Well, no. But business very often demands that, and society expects it. I just like something new, another place to live, better climate. Even our Indiana license plate seemed to call for that wander Indiana. And that's a real contrast. with the past, whether it was the family farm, sometimes called the home place. And home meant something in a very real way. A person who wandered very far, very often, in a certain society not too many years ago was not very well respected. Wanderlust. How those two words ever got connected, I'm not sure. But wander and lust were connected at one time. And then I can still remember the phrase, a rolling stone never gathers any moss. Well, whoever wanted a rock with moss on it anyway, I'm not sure. But that was nevertheless a warning that was sort of thrown out there. And I can remember that this became a kind of a problem for Margie and Roy. Because the old farm down there in Guernsey County, the President of the United States had signed that deed. And then the other brothers and the other members of the family had settled in other farms not too far away. But we didn't have any home place. We moved more than five times in the first 5 years. And we seemed to keep moving. But in spite of the fact that God gave Israel the promised land and that each family had a plot of land, I've sometimes thought that God did put some kind of a premium on the numbers of moves that a family made. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, they were always moving. Lived in tents, nomads. Even Moses headed out across that part of the world. Portable, the tabernacle, portable. All lived in tents. As though God were saying, I don't want you to settle down and get too comfortable where you are. It may become a Babel for you. You may begin to think more of the little plot on earth than you do of the place that I've reserved for you in heaven. I don't want you to do that. I'll keep you mobile. And that way your love won't develop too much. That home down there, I want you to remember, is a temporary thing. Your long home is with me up here in heaven. Get ready for that. Don't get so excited about that one down there that you prefer it to this. But I don't believe that God is really putting a premium on the number of moves or on spiritual superiority. The more often you move, the more spiritually superior. I don't believe that God is saying that. It's why you move that counts. Not how many times you move in how many years, but why. And what happens after you have moved to the place where you've moved to. In chapter 16 last week, God named eight people in Corinth who were sending greetings to 28 people in Rome. And it was a sudden reminder of how God has his people all over his world and he moves his man to the place where he wants his man to be in order to accomplish certain things. Jews accepting Romans. Singles accepting couples. Men in government accepting men in industry. But more than just accepting them, it was a worldwide network of partnership. People in partnership with God who's getting his job, God's man in such and such a place. And I can remember how this hit me as we were traveling on that year around the world, as we drove. We had the names and addresses of people. But it was amazing the way we found the names and addresses of people, too, because we knew very few of them when we left here. But clear up there at the end of that pipeline at Mafraq, out on the desert, Dr. Solta, ministering to the nomads, the Bedouins, the many different nations, the Bedouin tribes. And then just before we left to go up there, the little Christian community down there in Jordan. And after we had gone on through there, the few Christians over in Shiraz, Iran. And then on beyond that in India. And it was clear that God had his people all over his world. And many of those people had been sort of inserted into a different culture and civilization in order to share the gospel and demonstrate it in another country, in another culture. And that God had his people in his world where he wanted them. And God's introducing us to a couple here in this morning, an amazing couple. As far as I know, the couple that in the records that we have moved more than any other couple in the New Testament. Aquila and Priscilla. Aquila, the name means the eagle. And I think that Aquila was the old eagle-eyed businessman. We're told he's a Jew. Apparently he had a real feel for business. Wherever he went, he kept opening new offices. Involved in international tent making. Offices in Rome to begin with, then in Corinth, then in Ephesus. He had to go back and clean up the situation in Rome later on, but later on he moved back to Ephesus again. Priscilla. That's the diminutive form of the word Prisca. It means the old one. But it's the diminutive form. It's a little old lady. But it's a particular lady. A patrician lady. Like Corrie ten Boom. A lady like that. Or a Mrs. Good. Or a Kurt Bahan. A lady of real spunk. And of a real dignity, of discernment. Very possibly from a noble family in Rome. It was Lady Priscilla, as the British would call her. And it's very interesting and informative that of the seven times in the Bible that they are named, her name comes first in at least four of them. Now to begin with, it was Aquila and Priscilla. But then four times, right in a row there, at least four times, it's Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla and Aquila. And I think that that was because of the very, very important place that this little old lady had in their home ministry. Their home education program. The church that was in their home. God's word tells us that this couple moved five times in a period of about 7 years. In Acts 18, old eagle-eyed Jew came up from Pontus. That's where he'd been reared, in Pontus. He came to from Asia. That'd been the northeast part, perhaps up into north Turkey or north Iran. It may have been up there. But he moved to Rome in Italy, all the way over into Europe. From Asia, he moved over into Europe. Perhaps that's where he met Lady Priscilla in Rome and married her. But this Emperor Claudius was something else, and he banned all Jews from his city. Now, there were disturbances that were taking place between the Jews who were believers and the Jews who weren't believers, but it was just a convenient thing for him to get rid of the whole problem by saying every Jew, physically, every Jew who's physically related to Jews are to move out. And so at that point, Eagle Eye and the little old lady moved to Corinth. And they set up a new office in Corinth. And whether he turned the old one over to those who were qualified to remain in Rome or what, they may have sold out, but anyway, they moved to Corinth. Very shortly thereafter, the Apostle Paul showed up. Paul was also an expert tent maker. Jews were good at that. Not only had they lived in tents for so long that they knew what a good tent was, and God had probably equipped them to be able to evaluate what a good tent was. There are other tents, you know, that will shed water. We found a number of them that didn't shed water, but they did have the ones that did. But the Jews also had a saying, he that teacheth not his son a trade is as if he taught him to be a thief. He who teaches not his son to have a trade is as if he taught him to be a thief. And then there was another saying that was very prominent among the Jews. He that has a trade in his hand is as a vineyard that is fenced. He that has a trade in his hand is as a vineyard that is fenced. So these two Jews who had been taught to make tents formed a partnership. Old Eagle Eye invited Apostle Paul to live with him. Acts 18 says Paul was preaching every day, and that's just what Paul did everywhere else. I mean, every place Paul went, he would just explain the gospel to people. And when these people moved him into their home, I don't know whether they were expecting it to happen or not, but it's very clear, at least from that point on, may have been believers before Corinth, but At least from that point on, they really were believers. And I believe that this is probably where Aquila and Priscilla became believers. Their business drew them together. The Apostle Paul did not allow his business to interfere with his way. Rather, his business, his profession, was a means of witness. Lots of trouble there in Corinth. Paul was almost lynched upon one occasion, but he was rescued. It could have been that that's what he's referring to there in Romans when he says that Aquila and Priscilla on one point put their necks on the block. That's a literal translation of the Greek phrase. They put their necks on the block for me. It could have been there. It could have been later on in Ephesus they got in quite a bit of trouble too. But someplace along the line, Aquila and Priscilla had offered their physical life. You take our lives and let him go free for the Apostle Paul. 1.5 years later, that is after they had met and begun work together in the partnership in the office there in Corinth, Paul knew that it was time to, as he puts it, leave the brethren. It's very important to know when to leave. There was a friend in Ireland, I've told you about him before, who used to laugh about that when the seminarians would come out to his home. He'd say, you know, if we go to bed, they're supposed to go home. Proverbs 25:17 was probably where he was getting that. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee, and so hate thee. Proverbs 25:17 is an important thing to understand in connection with the church in your house. Paul saw things accomplished after 2.5 years there in Corinth. So he decided to move on to Asia. But the interesting thing is that old Eagle-Eye and the little old lady decided to accompany him. I don't know whether they sold the business or just decided to expand it and open another office over there in Ephesus. Rome, Corinth, Ephesus, that was an interesting international business. But either way, their business was made to revolve around their ministry. It never really handicapped or hindered their ministry. In Acts 18:18, it says they accompanied Paul. Not Paul accompanying them. They accompanied Paul. He left them shortly after they had arrived in Ephesus and went on to Antioch to make his report to the congregation that originally had been involved in his going out. But Aquila and Priscilla soon heard a new preacher come to town there in Ephesus. His name was Apollos. He was a powerful orator. They were really attracted. I mean, the crowds were coming. Big church services every evening. But Priscilla and Aquila, I think after they went back after that first evening, they said, you know, there's something missing. He seems to have it all together. And he knows a lot about God. But there's something missing. There's something very, very serious that's missing. So we're told what they did. They took him in. In the 18th chapter, in the 26th verse of Acts, when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. Whether it was a case of his not even being a Christian, which is possible, or of his knowing a lot about it, but not... There was something that was wrong. We don't know. But whatever it was, they just did the same thing in Ephesus that the Apostle Paul had done with them in Corinth. They did the same thing with their home here that Paul had been doing with their home and with them in Corinth. They took him into their home. That was a powerful, powerful thing to do because he became such a powerful preacher from there on. And that's one personal example of that little phrase that occurs almost everywhere where Aquila and Priscilla went, the church in their home. The church. Well, what was the church in their home? Well, after preaching service or after some kind of meeting out someplace, they just invited a man to come into their home. And they explained to him the way of God more adequately. That's the church in their home. An old eagle eye and the little old lady, this had become a mindset wherever they went. They were just watching for opportunities to invite people. Right after church service, they'd invite them to go home for lunch. How long has it been since you've done that?
You see, this is the way God says I work. He says, I like to do this. He's explained how it works out.
Paul came back to Ephesus. After this had been going on, the ministry had been pretty well established with Aquila and Priscilla. Paul came back to Ephesus for 2 years, but now Aquila and Priscilla leave. Don't know when they leave. We just know that they went to Rome, and we know they went to Rome because later on, when he's writing this letter, they are then back in Rome. They're not no longer in Ephesus. They're back in Rome. Perhaps they had gone to Rome to prepare the way for Paul. Because you remember over and over again, not only in the book of Romans, but also in a number of the other places, Paul said, I long to go to Rome. I want to go to Spain, but I'm going to stop through Rome on the way. Now, Aquila and Priscilla, maybe you could go ahead and sort of lay the groundwork for me there in Rome in the same way that you've already done when I left you here in Ephesus. They sort of opened the place where it could be done. We know they went to Rome because that letter was written to them, and Paul, the greetings in that letter to the Romans, Paul pays them real tribute there in Romans 16:3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ. We're still in partnership in the gospel ministry. They risked their lives for me, literally put their necks on the block. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentile world are grateful to them. You see, the Gentiles didn't have a place to worship. Jews, yeah, they could go into the synagogue, and they had other places. But to the Gentiles, the only places where these temples were, a self-respecting man who had begun to have an understanding of the morality standards, but God wouldn't be seen in one of those. So where will the Gentiles meet? Aquila and Priscilla, the old eagle-eyed Jews, had the home facilities for it. Business promoted that, made it possible. And as a Jew, he made his home available to the Gentiles. And all the Gentile world was thankful to him because he showed them how to do it. In Corinth, in Ephesus, in Rome, back in Ephesus again. Every place he went, he set up homes where the Gentiles were welcome to come in and they could show them the way more adequately. And they kept moving. They moved, as I pointed out, from Asia, maybe up in Iran to begin with, over into Europe, Rome, Italy. And then from there, they moved to Corinth. And then from there, they moved on over into Asia again, to Ephesus. And then they moved back to Europe, to Rome, a second time. But now, in Paul's last letter, written perhaps just a day or so before he died, and he knew he was going to die, he's sending out at the very end of that letter, to 2 Timothy, written while he's in prison there in Rome now, years later. He adds a hearty greeting in 2 Timothy 4:19. He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, the little old lady and the old eagle. Five moves in a little over 7 years. Asia to Europe. Europe back to Asia. Then back again, involving four different, at least five different countries, Iran, Italy, Greece, Turkey, Italy again, then Turkey again. But through it all, the church in their house. In Corinth, there was a church in their house. In Ephesus, there was a church in their house. In Rome, there was a church in their house. And finally back again in Ephesus. I believe there was a church in their house. They put Paul in Corinth. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. It's not just your own family and people you're comfortable with. There's some people who never entertain anyone except those that they feel comfortable with. But the Greek words in the New Testament indicate that we are to take into our home those whom we do not feel particularly comfortable with. Because some, having entertained strangers unawares by doing that, they took in Apollos. The son of Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequate. They took others into the church in their home. They made their business revolve around their ministry. Maybe it was a case of extending the business
Maybe he's accused of selling the business, but whenever the business began to interfere with the ministry or to hold them back for a further development in the ministry, then they changed. There was some change because their eye was focused upon the continuing expansion and development of that ministry. And their mobility is an important part of that witness. Their alertness to the spiritual needs of other people. Paul needed to be accompanied. But Paul's reason for going to Ephesus was the thing that really attracted them. A number of applications here this morning. How long has it been since you invited someone from your business into your home? Entered into a partnership with someone in your business, as the Apostle Paul did with Aquila there in Corinth. How long has it been since you met someone at church? Talked with him. And then invited them home. Welcomed them. And used the opportunity to explain the way of God more adequately. God says, I like to work that way. I bless you in that. How long has it been since you had a Bible study? A family worship? Home education? In your home? In what sense do you have a church in your home today? God says, I'll bless you in that because that's the way I want to work. And what's the relationship between your business and your home witness? What would it take to cause you to know that God wanted you to sell your business or to open up another office for the sake of the gospel? How large is your vision? Where would that be? Someplace else in Indianapolis? Someplace else in Indiana? The United States? Maybe it'll be America, Canada, or Mexico, or Central America. Europe? What about India? Asia? Why not Australia? God's world. How big is your vision? What would it take? How would you know if God wanted you to move to some other part of his world? What would be the evidence that would cause you to know that? But still, all this world vision in terms of the church in your own home, the individual Apollos, or Paul, when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they simply invited him into their home, and in the one case he explained the way of God more adequately to them, and in the next case they explained the way of God more adequately. Someone has defined hospitality as learning how to provide an atmosphere which contributes to the physical, the mental, and the spiritual growth of those around them. Learning who to invite into your and who not. Not only who to invite, but who not to invite into your home. Learning when to invite them and how long that visit should last. Making other people comfortable with my possession. I could wish that Lynn Schiffler, Ted Bishop, were here this morning, because Lynn Schiffler, having become a Christian, had committed her very new home. They had just moved into it a short time before that. Only a few months before she ran into the need head-on of a place for the church to meet in Columbus. Only a few months before that, she had come to a conclusion that God wanted her to commit their new home to the Lord, lest they would become more focused upon the possession and forget why God had given it to them. She didn't know what was coming, but she made a very definite commitment of that home to the Lord. How many years later was it that people were still traipsing in and out of her hallway? And we're talking about 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 80 people a week across her carpet, and down her floors and stairs, and into her basement, and into the other rooms up above. Year after year after year, the church in their home. So be careful. Don't do it lightly. But ask seriously whether or not God would have you to keep this possession to yourself. Or to give this to Him and ask Him to use it as He would. Do you know what type of person God wants you to invite into your home? Romans 16:17 has a very real warning. I urge you to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the mind of naive people. 2 John 10. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching which he's been describing there in the verses just before about Jesus Christ, about the Father, and about the Holy Spirit. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your home or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. But on the other hand, God clearly commends what Abraham did with the angel, taking that angel in as a stranger, what Mordecai did with Esther, taking in his niece, what Priscilla and Aquila did with the Apollos, and what they did in inviting in the Apostle Paul. He actually commanded Philemon to take Onesimus in, that the communication of your faith may become effectual through the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. This is why I've given you a home. It's not just for you to live in. It is for you to communicate the faith to your family. You need to be careful who else you invite in. Because if you invite someone else in and they distract, then you are responsible. But the point is, God says, if I have opened my long home called heaven to you for eternity, then what right do you have to shut your home here on earth to the anathema of the world? Be careful whom you invite in, but do invite them. And make sure that when you invite them, your guests are more important than your possessions. Make sure that they feel like members of the family more than they do like guests. Make sure that people can say what Paul said of Philemon after he'd been in his home. You know, every time I think of your home, I just thank God. Who do you know who would say that of your family, of your home today? You don't know anyone throughout the New Testament used more frequently or further than old Eagle-Eye and the little old lady. But God had a way of using them wherever they were. That's power and help. God, we thank you for this example, this sort of a blow-up of one of these people to whom greetings have been sent there. God, we thank you for showing us how it is that a church functions in home. The way Phil and Priscilla took Paul in. The way they took Apollos in. The way he became such a powerful witness. God, we pray that you would use us, that you would use our homes and families in your building of your kingdom. Thank you for that which you did when you sent Jim Bishop and Don Pitcher and those others down to specifically build houses that could be useful as a church in their home. So what you did with the Josephs and the Chelsea's and the others up in Lafayette with the church in their home. What you did with the Schistlers down in Columbus. What you did in our own home. And in the homes of so many others now in this congregation where additions have been built on and parents have been moved in
and where everything, the Bible studies, has taken place. And God, we thank you for these many evidences of the church we have. Make us aware, God, of what you're doing. We pray that you challenge each one of us, that we would ask God, how are you using the church in our home? What else is it that you would have us to do? Where would you have us to be? We would be available, Lord, to go wherever you want us to go and to have the ministry, whatever it is, that you would have us to have. In Jesus' name, amen. In closing, let's sing together some 126A. 126A. This is a psalm we sang, if you remember, when the members of this congregation moved south side. And many tears in people's eyes as we sang that psalm. And yet we've been practicing, and we still are. Let's sing the same as this stands as we'll rise to sing and standing for the benediction. Of the Holy Spirit be and abide with every one of you now and forevermore. Amen.